Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's lovely to be back. And the sun's, well, it was shining. I see the clouds now. Thank you for continuing to keep the church going in so many ways in my absence. And it is just lovely to be back with you. There's one or two intimations on the back of the order of service, mostly telling you about things which are not on for July. We're having a Sabbath month. We're having a month of rest. And great thanks to Jim Robertson and Karen, who are covering David's duties while he has a well-deserved month's holiday, which I can't remember when you last took holiday from the church. A long time. I don't know if everybody got one. You may have done, but I just thought I would draw your attention to the fact I got a letter from Angela Crawley, our MP, saying that she will be here in Forth on Friday the 26th of July, that's this Friday, at 2 p.m. in the Willy Waddle Community Centre. So if anybody's got any issues that we would like to take to our MP, Angela, then do please go along. That's 2 o'clock this Friday. And she says there's no appointment necessary. She'd be very pleased to meet with us. So there's that one. And then we've got postcards. I haven't looked at them yet. So first one is the Ayrshire Coast. 6 lovely pictures. And it says, our outing today, took us to the Scottish Maritime Museum in Irvine, where we saw details of Scotland's shipbuilding history, and the Skylark, a rescue boat from World War II, which is being refurbished to become a floating museum to sail on the Clyde. Wow. A grand day out with good weather from members and friends of Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club. Lovely. Thank you very much for that. And, oh, wow, we've got a picture of the Queen and the royal family. Today we travelled to the Palace of Holyrood House to view the treasures of past royals and our present-day royal family, including the wedding outfits of Prince Harry and Meghan's lovely dress, detailing all the splendour of the occasion. A lovely day out with good weather from members and friends of Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club. So thank you very much for these postcards. I haven't got a postcard in paper, but I've brought some pictures back, and I think there's at least 2 folk in the congregation who might recognize where some of these pictures are. I don't know if you'll get that one, although in the way in the distance, there's a very distinctive hill. It's Benachie in the distance, yes. Well done, Bill. And that's taken from almost at the summit of Pittenderech, which is just above Tarland, where I was staying. Not sure which one comes next. Right, that's the summit of Pittenderech, and you can maybe see Benachie more distinctly there. You can see the Mithertap and the other peaks. That was a super day's walking that day. And then roughly in the same area, you might recognize this loch. Any ideas? A famous loch in that area, near a Boyne. No, not Loch of Skeen. Good try. Loch Kinnord. Loch Kinnord. And it was a fantastic still day. You can see the stillness of the water with a perfect reflection. It was just a lovely day. I walked round the loch. Got a wee bit wet, but it was dry most of the time. And on my way round, came across this old Celtic cross, which varying reports, I think it's about 1,200 years old. It's in the sort of Pictish stone style, but it's not as old as Pictish, as far as I know. But always beautiful to come across these reminders of our faith in the middle of a holiday, the middle of a walk round a loch. So I think that's all of them, isn't it? Yeah. So I hope you will all continue to send postcards when you're away, and also to continue to come back and tell us about your experiences when you have been away. We're here to worship God, God is love, and we are his beloved children. We can only love one another because God first loved us, and God's love is a perfect love which drives out fear. Our psalm today is quite a challenging one, but it's worth reading, I think. It's Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent, whoever does these things will never be shaken. Amen. A pretty tough definition of those who can dwell on God's holy mountain. But of course, the wonderful news is that in Christ, we all can. Let's start our service by singing hymn 716, Come and Find the Quiet Center. Hymn 716. And of course, what I omitted to say, but genuinely mean it, is thank you very much for being here, Mary. I've forgotten, were you here last week as well? 2 weeks ago, right. Yeah. I couldn't quite remember, but thank you ever so much for coming and playing so beautifully. So who can tell me what happened yesterday? We celebrated 50 years since Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. So I thought I would ask you all, can you remember, do you have any memories of that day? I was with a friend the other evening, and her memory was that she was quite young at the time, but her dad let her stay up the whole night, and they watched all the TV broadcast. Anybody else remember anything? Have we got a handheld, or will I just use this one?
My dad dragged me out of bed to watch the moon landing.
Dragged out of bed. Anyone else remember?
When I heard it, that's where I was. We were away for the weekend down at Castle Douglas, so it was in my caravan I heard it.
Right, in a caravan in Castle Douglas. So did you have a TV in the caravan?
Yes, I had a wee TV.
Right. Very posh having a wee TV in your caravan. I don't have a TV in my camper van. Any other memories? Come on, you're all chatting, but you're not telling me. Oh, no, say it out loud. You're not wanting to. Oh, well.
Jean was sitting with our son of 2 months old.
Oh, wow.
Watching the TV.
He was only 7, 8 months.
2 months.
So you're young enough to have a son that's 50?
Yes.
That's impressive.
He's the youngest.
He's the youngest. Oh, crikey. Anyone else got memories that they want to share with us? Well, that'll be something for you to talk about later. It was certainly a momentous thing and changed the world in many ways. It brought the whole world together as everyone watched that. But as usual, I've got a story for you as well, but it's a wee short one. It's called The Flawed Ruby. There was once a rich and powerful king who had a large and very unusual ruby that was beyond price. This jewel was the basis of his renown, wealth, and power. Each day he would gaze at it with great pride. One day, to his utter consternation, he saw that the ruby had upon it a scratch. Horror of horrors, what was he to do? He called each of his palace jewelers to come and examine the scratch and see what could be done to repair it. They were unanimous that nothing could be done without causing further damage. Well, the king was devastated and offered a substantial reward to any jeweler who could be found who could repair the king's ruby. Several jewelers came who fancied their chances, but all confessed that there was indeed nothing that could be done. Some days later, one of the king's servants said that he had heard tell of an old retired jeweler in a remote country district who was said to be very experienced in working with damaged gems. So he was duly sent for. And a few days later, he arrived, a bent little old man, rather shabbily dressed. The king's courtiers were very scornful and told the king he was wasting his time. But the king insisted that the old man be shown the damaged gem. He looked at it thoughtfully for some time and then said to the king, "I cannot repair your ruby, but if you wish, I can make it more beautiful." Well, the king was a bit skeptical, but he was desperate to have something done, so he agreed. The old jeweler set to work cutting and polishing. Some days later, he returned. Upon the king's precious stone, he had carved the most delicate rose, its stem being formed by the scratch. A bit like that flawed ruby, compared to Psalm 15, we are definitely all flawed. But like that old jeweler, God can make something beautiful out of us, including our flaws. Let's come before God in prayer. Spirit of the living God, you breathe in us on all that is inadequate and fragile. You make living water spring even from our heart, our hurts themselves. And through you, the valley of fears becomes a place of wellsprings. So in an inner life with neither beginning nor end, your continual presence makes new freshness break through. Here, now, in the company of your friends, how can we keep from singing? Lord Christ, when we are worried and distracted by many things, when we are driven and relentless with ourselves and with others, tied up with pressures of time and the demand to do what is urgent rather than what is important, speak to us with kindness, as you did to Martha, putting all things in proportion and releasing us into finding our worth in your love, not in our busyness or our desire to fix things. So may your living word at the center of our being claim and command all we do and all that we are. And let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we hear our Bible reading, let's sing hymn 755, Be Still and Know That I Am God. Hymn 755. Delighted to invite Ruby forward to read our Bible readings for today. The first is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 28. And then our gospel reading is the story of Martha and Mary, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell on him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in their mind because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and fear from accusations. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that you have been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant, Paul's labour for the church. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you to the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but it is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully worked for me. Luke chapter 10, 38-42, at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. If Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen.
Thank you, Ruby. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon really echoes the beginning of that reading from Colossians, speaking about how amazing God is. It's hymn 246, but we'll sing it to the tune Lord of the Years, which can be found at number 159 in the hymn books. So that's words at 246, and tune if you want to follow the music at 159. You're in great singing voice today. That's lovely. It's once I come up into the pulpit, you really get the volume of everyone singing together. It's beautiful. Thank you. Let's come before God in prayer. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Continue in faith. When I read the story of Martha and Mary, I wonder what it would be like if I was Martha. So I let my imagination go wild, and this is what I heard Jesus say to me. Elspeth, Elspeth, you are worried and upset about so many things. The pastoral care of our parish, the necessity to look after our employees and volunteers, the work of outreach, the need to maintain and improve the buildings, and so much more. Yet really, only one thing is needed. You know that, Elspeth, don't you? When you learn to be still and know that I am God, when you learn to really listen, to allow me to fill you with my love and to direct all your energies, then everything else will fall into place. Elspeth, Elspeth, take time to be like Mary. Sit at my feet, listen and learn. Then you will know how to teach and preach. Then all you do will arise out of our relationship. It reminded me that every time that I feel in need of refreshment and I go either on holiday or away on retreat with hundreds of questions in my head, I always end up with the one answer being God saying, I love you. And that's really all that matters. So I don't think that Jesus' tone with Martha was critical. I think he was understanding and caring, but he was making an important point. We are human beings. We have to learn how to be before we can do. The story that immediately precedes this reading today is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which ends with Jesus' words, go and do likewise, emphasizing the need also to do. As one commentator pointed out, the story of the Good Samaritan teaches us to love our neighbors, and today's story of Martha and Mary teaches us to love God. I think it's important to remember that hospitality was and still is very important in the Arab world. So Martha was doing the correct thing by providing hospitality. In fact, when I spoke about this on Friday night, one person said, well, if she hadn't, nobody would have got anything to eat and drink. While Mary was the one who was breaking the rules. By sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning, which was a place usually reserved for men. But what makes all the difference is the context. Because this was no ordinary guest who came into Martha and Mary's home. This was Jesus. I'm not sure if Martha recognized that, because she asked him, don't you care? And then tried to tell him what to do. Tell Martha to help me. Let's listen again to Paul's words about who Jesus is. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. I wonder if Martha realized that. I wonder if we do. That Jesus Christ has supremacy over everything, including our busyness, our desire to criticize others or judge ourselves, our fears, our doubts, our worries, everything. And this is what made all the difference that day in Bethany. If their guest had been almost anyone else, Martha would, in some ways at least, have been in the right. But she failed, as we often do, to recognize just who Jesus is. As we live our lives as Christians, seeking to follow Jesus and to obey the two most important commandments, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to learn to always remember that Jesus has supremacy over everything. Today, it's more difficult than ever. We live in an age when the church finds itself as a minority group in the wider society. And we're living through a time of political chaos and change, through the terror of climate change. So we need this powerful message of hope more than ever before. By accepting Christ into our lives, into our hearts, God takes all our brokenness and makes us whole and holy, without blemish and free from accusation, as long as we continue in faith. We can be like that ruby. Our scratches, our wounds, our damaged bits can be made beautiful in Christ. When we learn to be like Mary, to take time every day to sit still and listen to Jesus, to learn from him, then everything we do and say will be flavored with his love. We need to continue in faith to find and keep a healthy balance between doing and being, between Martha and Mary. I have a friend, part of the online meditation community, who said a wonderful thing one time. He said his aim in life was to be so filled with God's love that whatever squeezed him, whether good or bad, the only thing that would ever come out is love. That's my aim too. So we need to continue in faith to ensure that in everything we acknowledge the supremacy of Christ Jesus. We need to continue in faith so that the glory of God, which is Christ in us, might shine out in our society as lights in a dark place. We have the most wonderful message of hope for the whole world. I turn to the message, and this is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of some of today's verses from Colossians. This is what Eugene wrote, that Jesus was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. And this is the bit I love most. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. People and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death. Continuing in faith, allowing Christ to touch our hearts and change us, is so much more important than simply being seen to come to church on a Sunday. Continuing in faith, we can each become an agent of God's will being done on earth, of the whole world being fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. Amen. Let's continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Loving, living God, as we recognize your supremacy in everything, we give you thanks for everything. We thank you that we have the freedom to come here and worship you whenever we want. And so it is with grateful, joyful hearts that we bring these our offerings and ask you to use them along with our worship, our prayers, and our lives for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, speaking about continuing in faith, I couldn't choose any other hymn, really, could I, other than Look Forward in Faith, number 237 in the hymn books.
Thank you.
Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, for your love for us, warm and brooding, which has awakened us to birth and opened our eyes to the wonder and beauty of creation, we give you thanks. For your love for us, wild and freeing, which has awakened us to the energy of creation, to the sap that flows, the blood that pulses, the heart that sings, we give you thanks. For your love for us, compassionate and patient, which has carried us through our pain, wept beside us, and waited with us in our confusion, we give you thanks. For your love for us, strong and challenging, which has called us to take risks for you, asked the best in us, and shown us how to serve, we give you thanks. Loving, living God, we come to celebrate that you are present deep within us and at the heart of all life. Help us to continue in faith, open to receiving and sharing your abundant, unconditional love. Open to allowing your light to shine from within us. Open to allowing your grace and peace to transform us. And Lord, for the gift of prayer, we give you thanks. And now, in a time of silence, we name all those people and situations that are resting heavily in our hearts and minds today. Lord, we thank you that in the stillness we can hear your voice, welcoming our prayers, inviting us to hand them over to you, to let go and let God. Lord, in all your mercy, grant us your peace. Amen. Our closing hymn to raise the roof, I hope, is hymn 129, The Lord is King, hymn 129. So now, as we go out into the world, into the week ahead, let us continue in faith and be beacons of light in a world of darkness. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all today and forevermore.